السلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So we are inshallah continuing our study of Surah Al-Baqarah. Actually we are coming towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. We start from ayah number 275. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, those who consume interest will not stand except like the one who is driven to madness by Satan's touch. That is because they say buying and selling is like interest. But Allah has made buying and selling permissible and He has forbidden interest. So whosoever receives the admonition from his Lord and gives up, his is what happened in the past, and his matter is up to Allah. As for he who goes back, such are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Allah deprives the interest of blessings, and He increases the deeds of charity with blessings. And Allah loves not those who are ungrateful and wicked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these ayat, you may remember that we had the discussion last 14 ayat about infaq, fi sabilillah, spending in the cause of Allah, charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was mentioned charity brings blessings of Allah, and the charity should be done in the proper manner. Do not hurt the feelings of the poor that you are giving money to. And at the same time, it was mentioned that you can do it either discreetly, privately, or you can do it openly, but it should be done with ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for show off. And not reminding the person to whom you are giving that I have done this, I have done this favor to you, I have done this favor to you, but you have your niyyah, your intention that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there were a number of rules that were mentioned about charity, and charity should become the regular habit, as you have in the ayah number 274, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, those who give their money night and day, openly and secretly, for them there is reward. That means this is their regular habit. They are the one who are always charitable. After mentioning the acts of charity, infaq fi sabilillah, now we have the discussion of riba. Riba is interest. And people deal with interest in order to increase their wealth, in order to have more. Islam says, if you want to have more, give charity. Spend in the path of Allah. But as far as riba is concerned, do not indulge in riba. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى, those who eat riba, that means this is their habit. Just like they eat food, in a similar way, they become used to it, taking riba all the time. So those who have become into this kind of habit, on the day of judgment, لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ, on the day of judgment, they will not stand except like the one who is gone mad. Somebody who is insane, who cannot stand straight. So they will be falling down, one side or the other side. All of these things will be happen like that to those who take riba. So riba is forbidden in Islam. Riba was something that happened in the Jahiliyyah period before Islam. Those who had money, they used to loan their money to others. Riba is that you loan your money to somebody for a period of time and put a condition that the person is going to return to you with some more fixed amount that you can say, you must give me at when you pay, you must give me this much. So you give $100 and you say, all right, if you are borrowing $100 for a month, you have to return $110. So this extra amount is riba. It is interest. Sometimes people translate riba as usury. But there is really no difference as far as Sharia is concerned. There is no difference between interest and usury. Usury is normally interpreted. The definition of usury is that taking too much, exorbitant amount, charging. So like somebody loans $100 and charge 100% or 50%. So they say whatever is more than the what the government allowed amount, that will be considered usury, otherwise it is interest. But as far as riba is concerned, riba is everything. So whatever is increase, the definition of riba is given. Riba is a contract of loan or debt for any additional amount over the principal. The contract of loan or debt for any additional amount over the principal. That's what riba is. And it is forbidden in Islam. And it is something that is going to be on the day of judgment. It will be a terrible thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that you should not take riba and you should not give riba. So don't get involved into riba. Ya'kuluna riba, getting involved into dealings of riba. Allah says, this is what is going to happen. Now they said, the Arabs at the time, they said, innama al-bay'u mislu riba. And even today people say the same thing. They say, buying and selling is like riba. I mean, you buy something for $100 and sell it for $150, $120. So you are making profit. And you loan money, $100 to somebody and take $120. And this is making profit. So this is like transaction, business transaction. You say, innamal ba'u mislu riba. That is, isn't it? That this is what the non-believers said that. Qalu innamal ba'u mislu riba. So what is wrong with that? I mean, is it wrong to go and buy something for $100 and pay and sell it for $120, $140? No, this is profit. So in a similar way, they said, if somebody borrows $100 from you and you say, give me $120 after a month or after 2 months, I'm doing business. Allah says, أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Buying and selling is halal. Riba is haram. Now Allah did not explain that. Why? Allah simply said, أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Well, it is obvious. The obvious is that in the buying and selling, there is nothing sure. You make profit, you may not make profit. You go to the market, you buy things, and then after that you sell them. Yes, you make profit, but sometimes you do not make profit. Sometimes you have loss. So sometimes you don't make profit. But what the riba is that you give money to somebody and you tell him that give me 10%. Now this person has to give you 10%, regardless whether he loses the money or he gains or takes profit of that money. People may borrow for personal reasons. So if somebody borrows for personal reason, why are you charging him more? You should be helping that person. And that's what Islam wants, that people should help each other. If somebody comes and asks you for some loan, make sure that this person is going to pay the loan. And there's a whole ayah, very detailed ayah, about how to do the loan transactions. So if somebody asks you for a loan, for personal reasons, yes, give him the loan. And if somebody says, I am going to do business, so give me this amount of money. $100,000, please give me. I'm going to do a business, and I'm going to, for myself, for my family, I'm going to make money out of that. So, I mean, you may give him that money, but at the same time, Islam says, well, if you really want, then in this case, you participate, you become a partner. The partner in this money. And the partner is that you can put a certain amount of money, say, this is what percentage you have to give me, but we share the profit and loss both. And this is called mudaraba. And there is mudaraba, there is musharaka, there are different ways of doing it. Mudaraba is that person put the money and he becomes the like silent partner. He is the one who has investor, and the other is the worker. And the worker will say, I work for your money and I'm going to give you 20%, 40%, 50% profit. And the rest will be for me. And there are details about that mudaraba transaction so that you can do that. Or you can have two or three or more people, they pool their money and then they become partners in business. And they say that each partner will get according to what money they put into that. So somebody put 10%, they'll get a 10% profit. Somebody put 40%, you get a 40% profit, and so on and so forth. This will go on. And it is not only profit, profit and loss both. So there is nothing certain. In business, you make profit. Generally, you make profit, but you also do not make profit. The riba problem is that the money lender, the owner of the money, always makes profit. And this is not fair. This is not, that's why those who have money, they make more money, and those who are poor, they become poorer. In the pre-Islamic times, the custom was that people loan money, those who had money, they loan money. And then at the time when the payment time come, then the money lender will come and he say, are you going to pay or you are going to increase? So you pay whatever you borrowed. And if you do not pay, I'll give you some time and I'll increase. And he will increase. And sometime he may make it double, sometime triple, sometime, and this will go on. Every time a person is in default situation, he will come and say, give me more. And this is, you are going to pay this much. And then it will go on. And sometime they used to own the house of the person, the family will become slaves, all of this thing. That was the terrible situation. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And then Allah says, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Those who have received this now, this admonition from their Lord, and stop, then whatever they earned in the past, it will remain. They can keep it. فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ. Blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah could have said that, no, give up everything, whatever you earned in the past. فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. Whatever is past is past. That means before this revelation, you gave, received it. All right, keep it, but don't do it again. In a similar way, ulama say that if somebody was indulging in riba and then make tawbah, he doesn't have to return all the money to the people. He can keep it, but don't do it again. فله ما سلف فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف. So anyone who has received the guidance from his Lord and then stop, that person has keep it for whatever is of the past. Whatever happened, happened. But now you have stopped. وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ and Allah will judge you. Allah may forgive you. So أَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ and Allah will forgive somebody who has made a sincere repentance. وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. But those who repeat that, they say yes, and then they will go back again to the same thing. They are the people of hell, and they will be there in the hell forever. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Because these people know it is haram, and they still do it. And that's terrible. That's why the punishment is severe. أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Very rare you find that in the Quran that those people say that these are going to be in the hell forever. May Allah save us from that. So this is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala's rule. It's a command of Allah. أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Allah has allowed buying and selling. Make profit if you want to. Good. Get involved into business, but don't get involved into riba. Especially, our ulama say, do not take riba. That you do not take riba from others. As far as giving of the riba, it is only permissible if there is extreme necessity. In the extreme necessity, especially if you are in an area where do not have Islamic way of giving and taking loan, and then in that situation take the least amount and pay it as fast as possible, but those only in extreme necessity called al-durur. Al-dururat tubihu al-mahzurat. This is a rule in Islam that extreme necessities render the forbidden permissible. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah deprives the interest of blessings. مَحَقَ يَمْحَقُ means blots it out. Blights it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blights the riba. There is no benefit in riba. If it is now in this world, certainly it will not be in the Akhirah. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. It's very interesting. Riba, riba means to increase. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use that, riba, and then he will give you riba. Yurbi, he will increase for you. So riba means increase. So he uses the same term, say, وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. But as far as your sadaqat are concerned, Allah will increase them. So you give one and Allah will give you 10 times more or 700 times more or even more than that. So that is the increase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah takes away the blessings from riba and increases the blessings of sadaqat. The charity brings blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give you more. Whatever you give, it will be multiplied for you. Multiplied many times. And you will say, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. No money will decrease because of sadaqah. You will receive here, and certainly you will receive in the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. And Allah does not like those who are kafar, and kafir, ungrateful. Ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who turn away from Allah. Allah doesn't like those who are ungrateful and those who are sinful, wicked, commit sin knowingly, deliberately. They commit sin. Allah does not like them. Allah does not love those people. So Allah la yuhibbu kulla kaffarin aseem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very kind, very merciful, very loving, Rahman and Rahim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is a judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also holds people accountable. So those who are ungrateful to Allah, those who are disobedient to Allah, Allah does not like them. Inna Allah wallahu la yuhibbu kulla kafarin aseem. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُّؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُءُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ Those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and establish regular prayers and regular charity will have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. O you who believe, fear Allah and leave what remains of interest if you are believers. If you do not, then take notice of a word from Allah and His Messenger. If you repent, then you shall have your capital sums, neither doing wrong nor being wronged. So those who believe and do good deeds, people of faith, faith is very important, belief is very important, and then also the righteous deeds. And among the righteous deeds, especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions salat and zakat, waqam salat wa atu zakah. These are like two major main principles of Islam, performing the prayer and giving the zakah. Zakat, salat is your relationship with Allah. Zakat is your relationship with the others, with the, helping the society, helping the people, doing the charity, acts of charity. So basic religion is this, aqam as-salah wa atu zakah. And this is, Quran says that, other prophets also said that. When Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, was asked, what is all that you are talking about? Summarize the whole message that you have. He said, love God and love your neighbor. That's it. The rest is all detail. He said, the rest is all commentary. So this is the detail. أقام الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة. This is the summary of religion. Quran says that again and again. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ those who believe and do the good deeds. And then sometime the Quran makes a general statement and then specifies certain things out of that. وَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ So salihat, of course, salihat includes salat and zakat. But specified that, to emphasize that. أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ And they perform the prayer and give the zakah. And لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ They shall have their reward with their Lord. Allahu Akbar. I mean, the reward with their Lord. The Lord is the one who is the owner of the heaven and the earth. And He will give them the reward according to His generosity, according to His kindness. So lahum ajruhum, their reward is with their Lord. And then said, wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. And they will live in a happy condition, no fear and no grief. As you mentioned before, that this is the problem that we all human beings have in this world. We either are afraid or we are sorry. That's it. We are afraid of getting sick. We are afraid of getting poor. We are afraid of losing our job. We are afraid of with our family, our children. There are all kind of fears that you have, all kind of uncertainties about the future. And then also, sometime you say, oh, I wish I would have done that. I wish this, I wish that. I wish I would not lost that. I would have that. So all kind of huzn, grief comes. So life is full of hope and full of grief. But the life of Jannah, there is no hope and there is no grief. And that is the perfect life. That is the happiest situation. You have no hope and you have no grief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ They shall have their reward with their Lord and they shall not be afraid and they shall not be sorry. All the sorrows will be taken away from them. All the fear will be taken away from them. So that is for those who believe, not those who are kafar and athim. those who are ungrateful and those who are sinful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, you who believe, O believers, be mindful of Allah. Fear Allah. Ittaqoo. Taqwa has all meanings. Taqwa means fear of Allah. Taqwa means mindfulness of Allah. Taqwa means obedience to Allah. Taqwa means also avoiding the prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has think that Allah has prohibited. So ittaqullah. Ittaqullah is mentioned many times in the Quran. Taqwa. And that's what Islam does. It came to teach people taqwa, mindfulness of Allah, consciousness of Allah. Ittaqullah wa dharu ma baqiya min ar-riba. And leave, shun, abandon anything of riba that you may have. Don't deal, don't get involved into that. Give up. Give up whatever remains of interest. That means no claim now, from now. Though do not take, you have no claim. The only thing that you can take, as mentioned in the next ayah, your capital. So if you have loaned money to somebody on interest, don't take interest. You can only take your capital, your principal. ذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers, if you really believe in Allah, then you do that. And that's what the Sahaba said that. And Rasulullah ﷺ in his last sermon, he said, all the claims of interest are under my feet. From today, there is no one who can make a claim of riba. And he says, the first claim of interest that I do is for my uncle, Abbas. Whatever he owes, whatever people owe to him, to Abbas of riba, cancel. Everything is canceled now. He started a new way. And awwal riba adaw the riba ammi Abi Talib, Abbas. That was the riba that I canceled it. That's what Allah said, wadharu ma baqiya min ar-riba in kuntum mu'minin, if you are believers. And if you are not going to do that, so be ready to fight with Allah. Be ready with the war with Allah. Izanu bi harbin min Allah wa rasuli. It is said in some of the commentaries that on the Day of Judgment, a person who has been involved in riba said, take your sword, come and fight if you want to. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So take notice. Take notice of war with Allah. And who can win when there is a war with Allah? So that is a big warning. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So receive the notice. Allah declares war. Those who continue and who do not listen, who continue with doing it. وَإِنْ تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. But if you repent, if you turn away, then you can keep your capital. You can take, yes, your capital is your capital. Use your capital for business. Use your capital for halal transactions. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Don't do wrong and don't take wrong. That means neither doing wrong nor being wronged. Islam is a religion of fairness. Be fair. You don't do zulm to anybody and don't suffer zulm at the hand of somebody else. Don't do that. So first you say, don't do zulm yourself. And then also protect yourself from zulm of anybody else. If somebody else does the zulm, stand up and protect yourself. Protest. Protect yourself. So you have a right to stand against the zalimin. Neither they do zulm to you nor to anybody else. La tazlim. Don't do zulm to anybody. You yourself don't do zulm. It is not that I have complained the zulm of others, but I do it yourself, myself. That will be wrong. La tazlimun wa la tuzlamun. So the Rasulullah said in the hadith, he said, La darara wa la dirar. La darara wa la dirar. Don't do harm to anybody. And also, don't receive harm from anybody. So don't let yourself be harmed by somebody. Protect yourself. You have a right to protect yourself. You have your all human rights. Your right of your life, your right of your property, your life of your family, your freedom, your land, your faith, of course, your religion. All of these things, these are called five fundamental objectives of Sharia, to protect those. La tazlimuna wa la tuzlamun. So don't do that. Don't take zulm, don't make zulm. Don't do zulm and don't receive zulm. And if somebody does zulm to you, you have a right to defend yourself in the most appropriate manner. Whatever the proper manner you have to do that, you can do that. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظْرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. If one is in a hardship, then let there be respite until ease. But if you remit by way of charity, it is better for you if you only knew. And be mindful of a day when ye shall be returned to Allah. Then every soul will be paid in full what it earned, and they shall not be wronged. So here it's Allah says, you give loan to somebody and you tell him, both agree that this is the loan for so many months or year, and then the person does not pay. Now, if a person does not pay because he is in hardship situation, he has difficulty. So if he comes and says that this is my situation, I am unable to pay now, I'm going through difficulty, then give him time. فَنَظَرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ. Give him ease, time for until he becomes well, until his hardship goes away from him. Things become easy for him. Give him some time. Of course, it is important that people should not procrastinate. They should not default their loan if it is zulm also. That is matal ghaniy zulmun. The Prophet said, somebody who has money but is not paying, he's just procrastinating and saying, I'll give you later. You know, sometimes people take money and they don't pay. That's very wrong. It's zulm. They're committing sin. So if you borrow money, pay it on time. Don't take advantage, because the person is not taking any interest, nothing. He gave you the money and now you're keeping later. I'll give you later, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. So that's terrible. It's a big sin. So don't do that. However, if somebody is really in hardship, then it is nice to do that. It is nice to give him time. Give him another month, give him another few days or whatever. And if you can say, okay, this is sadaqah for you, this is my charity. Say, or you do that. Say, forgive. If you can forgive, good for you. If you can do that. In kuntum ta'alamu antasaddaqu khairul lakum in kuntum. This is in the situation where a person has taken a loan for personal needs. The personal needs, a person is unable to pay. And if you can forgive, it's good for you. وأن تصدقوا خير لكم, better for you if you can give him. But this is up to you. This is your choice. It's not fard. It's not obligatory. It is you if you can do it, if you can forgive. If you can forgive all of it, good. If you cannot forgive all of it, you can say, okay, give me half of it. You can do that or whatever. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا صَدَقَةً. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا, if you give, make it a صَدَقَة. Now you cannot do that for it. That you cannot say that, okay, it is now my zakat. Because zakat is supposed to be that you have to have intention at the time when you give the zakat. So you don't give loan, and because the loan is not paid, you say, all right, I'll consider that as my zakat. No, this is sadaqa only. This is a voluntary charity. So وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you give, make it as a sadaqa, good for you, if you know it. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Because if you know the, what is the reward of sadaqa, what are the blessings of sadaqa, and especially if you make somebody who is in debt, and you forgive that person, that's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you do that. And all of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And be mindful of that day. Again, taqwa is mentioned here. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. And be mindful of the day when you will all be returned to Allah. You remember that we all have to return to Allah. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah and we shall be returning to Allah. And we are returning to Allah. Every day brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day brings us to that way when we'll be returning. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So be mindful of the day. Fear the day, that day. When you are going to be back to Allah. You return to Allah. And then تُفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. Then every person will be paid in full whatever he or she earned. Kullu nafs, every soul shall be paid in full what it has earned. Wahum la yuzlamun. And there is no zulm in Allah. There is no zulm in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will not be deprived. You, whatever you have done, Allah will give you the reward for that. So continue doing the good things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deprive any good deed. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish for every bad deed. So it is not that everything that you bad you will do, that you will be punished. No, Allah may forgive, and Allah does forgive. And if everybody, if we are all going to be held and punished for every sin that we do, none of us will be saved. So Allah is very forgiving. Allah does not punish for every sin. But anything good, Allah will not take it, deprive you of that. Although on the Day of Judgment, you see both. من مسقال حبة شرا يرى ومسقال حبة خيرا يرى. Everything, every little good things or every little bad thing, you will see that. So it will be all in our account. The book of deeds will have everything. But Allah forgives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not hold us accountable for all our mistakes, for our shortcomings, and reward us for everything that we have done. Sometimes we do things with the intention. Sometimes we do not do things with the good intention. May Allah give us the reward for everything. For all our a'mal, good deeds, may Allah reward us. For any our mistakes, our shortcomings, our sins, may Allah forgive us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will forgive that if there is proper repentance, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, they are warnings, but at the same time, they are also good news that are given to us. So we should keep that in mind. After this, there is the longest ayah of the Quran that deals about loan transaction. That if you give loan, then what you should do. So because we mentioned that, you can, you should give loan, you can give loan, but the loan transaction is a serious matter. And you, when you give loan, you also be very careful. And when you take loan, you should be very careful. And that's why you find that the longest ayah, I mean, I have it in two pages here. This is the longest ayah of the Quran, ayah number 282. And this is every detail of loan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in a beautiful way. You can see that in one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned everything that you can do about that. So since it is a long ayah, we can discuss that inshallah next time. But let's take the ayah that we discussed today, and that is starting with riba, indulging in riba. And it is something serious, and don't compare it with business. It is not a business. It is not, I mean, it is not buying and selling. It is not bay'ah, but it is a forbidden transaction. So it should be, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give barakah with that. And that is the source of a lot of evil. And the problem that humanity is facing in the world today, it is because of that. And actually, the money has become a terrible thing. That is, even though there's a lot of money, but most of that money is gone into riba transactions individually, as well as nations are under riba. And they are going through a lot of suffering and pain. The rich are becoming richer and poor are becoming poorer in every society. And some places more than others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the humanity to see the right path. أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعًا وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا. So let's take a few questions, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Ameen for your du'as. Dr. Siddiqui, when collecting a loan, can a lender factor in annual inflation? Is that permissible, or would that also be considered interest? So annual inflation, can that be factored in?
Yeah, I mean, it's true that today the money is what they call it, fiat money. Money is not the same as in the old days. People used to deal with gold and silver. And gold and silver, the value does not fluctuate very much. But the currency, paper currency, and not even paper now, it's now the digital currency, cryptocurrency, you have it. So you have all kind of currencies today. And in general, one can say that you have to, whatever you have given, you take back, unless there is a major difference between the value. Then you can say you connected with value, if that is the case. For example, some currencies suddenly drop from whatever their value, they become 50% less, more than that. Such as the rupee of Pakistani rupee used to be, you can buy it 100 rupees for $10, and now you cannot even get $1 for 100 rupees. So I mean, there's a terrible thing. So I think there's some consideration has to be there, although people have not come up with any formula on that, because most of these formulas become speculative. So that's why people say if there is a ghaban fahish, if there is a terrible loss and different, then you can use the inflation. Otherwise, you deal with that, that whatever you give, you take back. So al-misliya, that is whatever you give, you take back the same. That is the general rule, unless there is a big difference between one amount of money and the other amount of money. This is the the Islamic finance people and other people, they are struggling with that. They're struggling with that. Sometimes they even try to see if we can connect with an artificial Islamic dinar. They made it. The Islamic development tried to make it an Islamic dinar, but it did not work. I mean, they say that somebody borrows $100 million, and then after that, they pay after 10 years, 20 years. What are they going to pay? Because they say, instead of $100 million, put it into 100 million Islamic dinar, and they return the money in Islamic dinar, and the Islamic dinar will be connected with the index, price index. And that will be kind of an average from dollar and euro and yen and all of these things from that. So this is an idea, but this idea did not go further. The point is that we understand that the money is, there is the value of money is going down. There's the time value of money. Money is going down, and it is something that one has to consider that. That's why in the Islamic mortgage system, they consider it in some way. Some people say this is all just playing with terms, but at the same time, what can you do when the money is valued that way? Somebody comes to you and say, I want to buy a house for $500,000 and I need $400,000 for 30 years. I mean, you cannot say, okay, after 30 years, give me back again $400,000. Because $400,000 will have not the same value. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Don't do zulm and don't take zulm. It will be zulm for the money lender that he is getting after 30 years, same amount of money. So there has to be some consideration on that. I think this is the most critical issue, and that is going on in the discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that. People are dealing with the paper money. It's not even paper money, it's the digital money. It's a speculative money that is there. You don't even see the papers nowadays with this coronavirus. We are not even seeing the currency. We are just putting the card and giving and selling all these things. So,
Thank you, Dr. Stiki. Going back to the giving and receiving of riba, if a Muslim continues that practice throughout their lifetime, what is the end result in the hereafter? This hum fiha khalidun, is that he will be in hell forever?
It is, those who are have iman, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be eventually out of the hell, but even for a short time, it will be a terrible thing. So don't take it lightly. Okay, I will be for 1 month in the hell. No, it's horrible. Even for a minute, even for a second, it is terrible. So it is that way. But there is those who believe in Allah. They will, man qala la ilaha illallah la yukhallad fi an-nar. The one who says la ilaha illallah, they will not be forever in the hell. So it is a warning, but it is at the same time, there is a hope if those who say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Inshallah. Dr. Siddiqui, do other major religions speak about the prohibition of giving and receiving of interest, or is this strictly?
Of course, in the Bible is very clear. It was forbidden. It was forbidden to Bani Israel. Absolutely, it was. Aklihum riba uqad nuhi an, as Allah says in the Quran, they started eating riba although they were told not to do it. So it was mentioned, and it is mentioned in the Bible. Allah says that in the Quran that they were forbidden. But it is also mentioned in the Bible. In the Bible, Musa alayhi salam spoke very strongly against it. Other prophets spoke against it. Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke. And that's why for a long time, among the Christians, it was forbidden. But then the church allowed what they call it, a small amount of interest. And they say usually is not is to be done. And then after that, they even usually they allowed that. So in the beginning, they said no. And then after that, they allowed a small amount. And then they said, forget about it, the whole thing. And they started doing that. So that is what it is. And that there is a warning for that, that Muslims should not take that way, should not follow that. But it is in major religions, especially in Judaism and Christianity, Abrahamic religions, it is forbidden, absolutely forbidden. Other traditions also emphasize that. I mean, in Hinduism, in Buddhism, and other traditions, there are some prohibitions on that, but it's not as clear as you find that in the Abrahamic traditions.
Thank you, Dr. Stiki. I don't see any questions at this time, so. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Siddiqui, Sister Sabiha, and everybody. Dr. Saab, looking at the American Muslim migration and the effort in this area, slowly transit to accommodating and understanding, I would say better, whether Yusuf al-Qardawi and your position, everybody's position over the time, better brought this interest model in a true perspective. Especially I'm referring to consumable and non-consumable items. So consumable items, it is very clear that there's no interest. But when it comes to business partnership, which you already mentioned, non-consumer, there has to be a profit, just like you mentioned. So therefore, but Muslim scholars, I don't know why they didn't clear the way so that Muslims could own the homes. If it was 40 years ago, many people will have security and maybe they already paid off their homes. They would have a lot of benefit, but many Muslims are so much emotionally involved with this war declaration Allah mentioned and the other words, you'll be in the hell forever. So that brought a lot of fear that every little item was prohibited. But when I see it, Quran is very clear. It is a cash transactions, dealing person to person. You don't exploit them, whether it's a credit card or whether it is. But when it comes to business partnership, there is room for profit. So I think you did elaborate, but I think somehow we are not openly saying to our Muslim community, go ahead, buy a home. I mean, Muslim finance, they don't offer as good package as in competitive American mortgage companies. So, and the quality of professionalism is very poor. We are not here yet to compete very well. So Muslims should rise up and compete in this within the framework of the Quran. This is my comment. I need your help in that to understand.
Jazakallah khair. I think the way is to look at things in a broader perspective, not just a small transaction here and there, but in a broader perspective. And the broader perspective, especially when it comes to homes, purchase of homes, you have to understand that you will be living in that home and saving your rent. You will own the home and the price of the home will increase, and then you will get all the benefit of the price increase. And then also the money is losing its value. So it will not be the same that you borrowed. After 30 years, that amount is not the same. So if you look all of these perspective, then you can see that one has to be fair on both sides, all of these things. So that's why I think it's important to look at this from this broader perspective. And this broader perspective is important, and we have to come up with a proper solution. So that's what is needed. So whatever our scholars, such as Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi and others, may Allah bless them and may Allah reward them for their efforts, they have said that if you are in need and you cannot, then you can take your home, one home. And now, of course, you have various programs for home buying, and they call it halal programs, either through guidance or through La Riba or through University Bank or Diwan Bank and others. So these are various possibilities that are there, but none of them are really the ideal. They are all struggling to find a way to help the community. And inshallah, with this continuous struggle, hopefully you can come up with a proper solution. But you have this possibility. If you're not comfortable with that, if you think it's too much to do that, then you have the other fatwa, and that fatwa is take one home for yourself and put the conventional mortgage, and then try to pay it off as soon as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. And we will continue with both classes next Sunday at the same timings. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to bring to your attention that from next Sunday, the Zoom link will change. So please watch out for that in the newsletter and on the website, events.isocmasjid.org. And as always, follow ISOC on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And of course, continue to check the weekly newsletter for all program details and updates. Dr. Siddiqui, may Allah bless you. May Allah take us towards goodness in all our matters. May we join you for a closing dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله اللهم إنا نسألك خير العلم وخير العمل اللهم إنا نسألك خير الحياة وخير الممات اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والدرجات العلى والله we pray to you to bless us, give us the good things of this life, the good things of the life to come. والله protect us from all evil here and everywhere. والله save us from the difficulties and save us from the difficulties of this life as well as from the punishment of the hellfire. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.